Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
And welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It is quarter number four. I'm Jim Galante, along with our special guest, Dustin Schutte, college football writer for SaturdayTradition.com. And again, if you're a college football fan, and I know most of you are Penn State football fans, but if you want to know about the Big Ten, about the competition, you go to SaturdayTradition.com. Dustin's stuff there is fantastic. Earmark that. One, make sure you get there. Dustin, how you doing, my friend?
Well, thank you for the wonderful introduction, and I appreciate the plug there. It's always great to be on the show and always great to be talking Big Ten football.
It is, and that's the fantastic part. We're actually talking football. We're close to the start of the season, and I wanted you on, Dustin, to give us a perspective on the entire Big Ten. So let's get right to it. First off, first question, very easy. Can anybody compete with Ohio State in the Big Ten?
Yes. Now, does that mean that anybody's going to top Ohio State and prevent them from keeping or prevent them from getting a fifth straight Big Ten title? That's the big question that I think is still, I don't know that I'm ready to say that yet. But I think even though Penn State struggled last season, were 4-5, I like the changes that they made. I like Mike Yurcich coming in. I like that they have a returning starting quarterback in Sean Clifford, even though he struggled last season. I like what they have in the running back room with Devin Ford, Noah Cain, some of those other guys. I like wide receiver with Jahan Dotson and Parker Washington. I really like what they have on both sides of the ball. They'll have one of the best defensive backs in Jaquan Brisker. So I really think Penn State is going to turn things around. I think that once they got off to that 0-2 start and you see your Big Ten title hopes evaporate, your college football playoff dreams, popped, I think that that just kind of started a spiral effect and they didn't quite get it turned around. The other team is going to be Indiana, in my opinion, but that's, in my opinion, completely dependent on the health of Michael Penix Jr. If he's on the field, their offense is dynamic. He can deliver the ball anywhere on the field. He's able to get the ball in the hands of his receivers. He won't be as mobile as he has been in the past. But if he's on the field, I think that he has the opportunity to kind of tear up that Ohio State defense. And I just really like what Indiana did last season defensively. They have a lot of their players back. Tywan Mullen's a great secondary player. Reese Taylor's really good. Micah McFadden was one of the top linebackers in the Big Ten last season. So I think those two teams, Penn State and Indiana, are going to be very competitive with Ohio State this season. But the question is, will anybody be able to dethrone them? And I'm not quite ready to say that yet, but I expect that those two teams to be very competitive and very good this year.
I'll tell you what, us Penn State fans all know, Michael Penix is so good, he could score a touchdown without even reaching the end zone.
That's still fresh in everybody's memory, I take it. It's one of the most controversial calls ever. And I'm still not convinced that he got it to the end zone, the threshold there, but what are you going to do?
It is what the official says it is. Dustin, you alluded to Sean Clifford, and I'm curious, there's a lot of Penn State fans, I'm one of them, who really thinks Penn State's season is dependent on Sean Clifford. There's a lot of Penn State fans who think if this is dependent on Sean Clifford, they're really hurting. What's the outside impression of Sean Clifford beyond Penn State's?
I would agree with the notion that Penn State's success depends heavily on the arm of Sean Clifford. And if you want to throw his legs in there too, feel free. But what I would say to Penn State fans to maybe get them to relax and back up off the ledge a little bit is you've got to remember that last season they were under a first-year offensive coordinator in Kirk Ciarrocca. You have your entire spring evaporated. Your fall is a mess because of the cancellation, the on-again, off-again season with the Big Ten. So we were never really able to see that team come together, that scheme come together. And clearly the scheme that Ciarrocca brought with him from Minnesota wasn't going to fit that Penn State mold. They just didn't have the type of players you need to run that effectively, at least last season. having a full offseason to work with Mike Yurcich, having a full fall camp, knowing he's the guy, he's not looking over his shoulder at Will Levis or anybody else, unless we see some sort of surprise from Taquan Roberson or somebody else in that room. I think that Sean Clifford is going to take that next step. Now, it doesn't mean he's going to be Trace McSorley good. It doesn't mean he's going to be Justin Fields good. But I think he's going to get the ball to his receivers. I think he's going to clean up some of those turnovers. And I think he's got the talent around him on the offensive line, out of the backfield, and at the wide receiver position to feel confident enough to get Penn State back to where it has been the last couple of years under James Franklin, and that is traditionally a double-digit win season. So I understand the little bit of panic you hear from Penn State regarding Sean Clifford, but I think when you consider all that happened last season and how quickly he had to adjust to Kirk Ciarrocca and the mess that they had to deal with in bringing in a first-year offensive coordinator for Penn State, I think that that is a lot of the reason why he struggled so much last season.
Sticking with the East, I think Maryland, Michigan State, Rutgers, they may show improvement, but I'm not sure they're going to be competitive. What about the one team we haven't talked about, though? Michigan have Penn State and Indiana supplanted them as the real competitors to Ohio State?
Yeah, I think so. And that's I'm not saying Michigan can't get back to that level of being the second best team in the Big Ten East, but they've got to figure out something with their quarterback. I mean, we're talking about Jim Harbaugh going into his seventh season at Michigan, and he hasn't had a great quarterback yet. And he was supposed to be the quarterback whisperer. You know, he was the guy that coached Andrew Luck and got him to be the first-round draft pick so many years ago. So I think Michigan is going to be better. They're not going to be like as bad as they were last season, but to me, I see as a 7-5, 8-4 type of team. I don't think that this team is capable of beating a Penn State. I don't think they're capable of beating Indiana. And what over the last decade would lead you to believe that they're capable of beating an Ohio State? The one thing I would say is I like Jim Harbaugh's attitude. He's still hell-bent on beating Ohio State. They've made some changes in their weight room. They put a big poster up saying, "What have you done to beat Ohio State today?" They're not allowing the color red in their locker room. I mean, this is all rah-rah stuff, but I think the bigger picture there is he's come to the realization that I have to beat Ohio State, or I at least can't get beat by 28 points every year, or I am going to be out of a job. And so I like that aspect of it. I do think he'll be there at the end of this season, unless they have a losing record. I think he'll be there no matter what. I just don't see Michigan getting past 8 wins this season. I just don't think that they're as competitive as they were in 2015 and 16 and 17 under Harbaugh.
I believe Ohio State lives rent-free in Jim Harbaugh's head. And that's the way it's going to stay. Let's take a quick look out west here, Dustin. I'm assuming Wisconsin is the favorite out there, but hardly an overwhelming favorite. You agree with that?
I would agree with that. I think Wisconsin, one of the things that is interesting to me about Wisconsin is last season, Graham Mertz got off to a great start, and then he kind of fizzled out. You know, it was almost like a Sean Clifford type thing where he looked like he was going to be the guy, and then all of a sudden you're kind of scratching your head, like maybe he's not going to be the guy to lead our offense. But he did lose two of his best wide receivers with injuries, Danny Davis and Kendrick Pryor. Those guys are both back. What you know up when you're going to get with Wisconsin is great offensive line play, great defensive line play. You're going to get great linebacker play. Jack Sanborn is another great player in the Big Ten at the linebacker position. So, but the problem with the West is Iowa's going to be really good. I think Minnesota has a chance to look like it did in 2019. Northwestern always has some sort of magic. You can never count them out of a division race. And then Purdue, Nebraska, and Illinois, I think that all three of those teams are going to be better than they were a season ago. So it's kind of a jumbled logjam mess out there. I think Wisconsin is the best team out there. But when you look at the Big Ten West, in my opinion, any team can beat any team on any given Saturday. And that's kind of what makes the West so fun. There's not really that premier power, but there is so much consistency, there's so much depth out there that I think any one of four teams, Wisconsin, Iowa, Minnesota, Northwestern, I think any one of those four teams is capable of winning the Big Ten West this year.
You alluded to it, Dustin. 2 years ago, at the end of the season, Minnesota was that surprise team. Last year, Indiana was that surprise team. If we're talking about a team at the end of this season, the way we talked about those two teams the last 2 years, Who's it going to be?
I really believe it's going to be Illinois. I'm a big believer in Brett Bielema. I don't think that, and look, I'm not saying Illinois is going to be a 9 or 10 win team, but you look at how bad they were under Lovie Smith, only making a bowl game one season in 5 years. They were 2-6 last year. They return 20-plus super seniors. I think they've got 40 players that would have a senior status on their roster this year. They have a good starting quarterback in Brandon Peters. Brett Bielema focuses on the run game. He's good at improving in the trenches. They have three starting offensive linemen that have all been Big Ten at some point in their careers. Their defense returns Jake Hansen, who was I keep talking about top linebackers, but Jake Hansen was another really good linebacker for them a season ago. I think that what you see from Illinois in 2020 is going to look eerily similar to what we saw from Purdue in 2017 when Jeff Brohm took over. And that is a team that was at the bottom of the Big Ten for so many years, but they had so much experience, so many guys who had played so many football games, but just needed that little extra nudge to get them over the hump. And they were 6-6, got to a bowl game and beat Arizona in the Foster Farms Bowl that year. I see something similar with Illinois. They're not going to win 9 or 10 games. They're going to be super competitive when they play. I think they're going to get to bowl eligibility. I think they're going to hit 6 wins. And I think that you're going to see this kind of turn a page for Illinois, and Brett Bielema will establish himself as, you know, one of the top coaches again in the Big Ten here in the next couple of years.
Just as an aside, DraftKings is a big sponsor for our show. I see the over-under number of wins for Illinois at 3.5. So can I take it to the bank, the over on that, Dustin?
I would take that to the bank. I think that's the. I think that might be the best play in the Big Ten right now.
Okay. Well, we talked about a team that could surprise us in a positive way. If next year we're talking about the team that might disappoint us, who's that team?
Boy, that's a great question. I think I would have to go with Nebraska. The biggest reason is because they're 12-20 in Scott Frost's first 3 seasons. We haven't seen a lot of progress. Obviously, his third year was hindered by the COVID stuff. But this is a huge year for them. And the reason I say it could be a disappointment is because you look at that Week 0 game against Illinois. If they lose that, things could get off the rails really quickly. And they're already talking about a hot seat. There was a change at athletic director with Bill Moose stepping out and Trev Alberts coming in. So there's a lot of things going on in Nebraska. That's a team to keep an eye on this fall.
Dustin Schutte, thank you so much for coming on. Remember, you can read all of Dustin's stuff at SaturdayTradition.com. Make sure you take a look there. That's it for our show. Thank you all for listening, and be sure to join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Fans are back, and so is tailgating. To celebrate, GoPSURV.com has a very special offer. For the first home game of the season, rent one RV and get a second one for free. A 2-for-1 deal. That's right. You can double the family, double the friends, definitely double the fun. Go to GoPSURV.com or call Mark at 1-800-519-8467 for more information.
It's time to get undomesticated. It's time for Labatt Blue. Time to get off the couch and on the beach, on the trails, on the lake, onto what you love doing best. Get in touch with your adventurous side. Get out the ATV, the tent, the sunscreen. Get out the cooler and fill it high with Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light, because nothing goes better with the great outdoors. It's time to get up, get out, get undomesticated. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.